All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Out of Chicago podcast. My name is Michael Novo, and today I have with me a very special guest. He is a retoucher who spends quite a bit of time surfing our Facebook group on the Chicago Photographic Society, and I'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Mark Serrano. How are you, Mark?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for inviting me for this interview today.
Well, I'm happy to have you. Have we met? I don't think we've actually ever met.
No, we haven't met before. I don't think I've seen you in person.
No, but I've seen a lot of your work online for years now.
Maybe like 2 years. 2 years, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been and it's come quite a long ways. Like, when you first started posting, you were just getting into... Were you just getting into retouching, or were you getting into photography at that time? What's your story?
I think when I started posting in the group is I always just starting with photography. So basically, I started with photography back in June 2013. So that's like 2 years and 6 months ago. And it's mainly just shooting flowers, you know, landscapes, usual macro. And then... 2 months or 3 months after that, I was invited to a group photo shoot with a bridal concept. And that's how I started shooting with models. And then by accident, I, you know, got into retouching and then got addicted to it and started working on it.
No kidding. Wait, tell me that the timeline again. Did you say 2 years and 6 months ago is when you got into photography, like, altogether?
Yeah, I started in June 2013. So... I got my camera because my friends, they have their own Canon and Nikon, and I only have my iPhone and was comparing photos. They have better images than mine. They look better in computer. So I got my camera and then I started shooting. And then, like I said, 3 months after, I was invited to a group photo shoot with bridal concept, and that's when I learned how to shoot with people. At first, you know, I was really bad at shooting models. I don't have any lighting. I only have a camera. I don't even know how to pose models, you know. I don't even know how to edit them. I just use Lightroom. I actually learned Photoshop like maybe a year and 6 months from now. So really, everything just started really recently for me.
Yeah, I saw... And so, first off, can I just say that's absolutely crazy, because now a lot of people turn to you, first off, for like tips and information, and you're going to be teaching at the Out of Chicago Portrait Conference, but that's such a short period of time. And I've heard of like a couple other photographers who, you know, they just started a few years ago, and then all of a sudden they just exploded really big. So... I kind of actually want to zero in on that point for just a second before we talk about retouching. Mm-hmm. What, like, I was trying to think, 2 years into me photographing would have been, I still would have been pretty awful, or 2.5 years. Your work is quite good. It's and I mean, and I've seen a lot of retouching, and retouching can go bad very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it happens all the time. What on earth did you do? Your photos are good. Your posing is good. Mm-hmm. Your lighting is dead on. Can you tell me the secret? Because I think I spent like 10 years trying to get to that level.
Well, you know, the main difference I would say is, you know, before I got into photography, I have a good background I used to do a lot of research about accelerated learning topics, you know, how to learn quickly, you know, how to approach any topic and be a master in it. So kind of my background on that helped me on being a better photographer quickly than the usual. So I'd say compared to a normal photographer, because I have friends where we started the same timeline, and the main difference I see from them and from me is I always shoot almost every weekend. I almost edit my photos every day. It's like every day, nonstop. So even though I've been doing this for 2 years and 6 months, it's like I've been doing this for 6 years. because I've been doing this like constantly.
Yeah.
So those people that have been doing this for, let's say, 3 years, I mean, although they say it's 3 years, but actually if you tally all the time they use, it's only like just a year or, you know, less than a year.
Right.
So that's really the main difference.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. So, okay. So what is, tell me about accelerated learning. Like if you, what does it just mean diving in and doing it like day and night? Did you sleep? I mean, did you eat or was there just a lot of carry out being ordered to your house?
Well, really, most of the time, you know, like every day I only have like 4 hours or 5 hours sleep because, you know, kind of learning how to retouch, you know, learning lighting, everything, you know, just, so, you know, principles with the accelerated learning is really, you know, applying basic fundamental, like you have to approach a subject and learn it in a way that if you understand it the most. So for me, the way I understand things most is by researching all the people that I know, all the people that I like, and then asking them, seeing what they post on their blogs. Also, you know, buying their videos to see how they teach things. And then once I have all those, then I make a comparison. Once I have a comparison of all their works, then I make my own analysis of what works for me. And usually that's how I learn things quickly, not only in photography, but only also in other subjects, you know.
I think if I can use the appropriate words, and I don't honestly know if I can swear on this podcast, but holy shit, like that's just incredibly fast, because when I look at your work, it's seriously, and I'm not saying this because like you're a guest. In fact, that's why I'm having you on the show, is because when I look at your work, it looks like you've been, you know, you easily have like a half a decade or a decade of experience under your belt. It's like, it's perfectly, it's right on that level with everybody else. So that I can't imagine the level of immersion and training that you put yourself through. I mean, I've had those long nights and those long weeks when, you know, you sit there and you go over your images for quite a while, but I mean, this is quite a shift there. So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So your specialty now that I see a lot is the retouching. That's sort of like what you focus in on. I mean, you do great lighting, you're posing, you've got models that you work with, but really it seems like you've zeroed in on retouching. Why did you get, or how did you get onto retouching being such a big deal?
Well, you know, the reason why I'm into retouching now, you know, I don't want to brag, but it's because...
This is your show, man. This is your time to brag.
Yeah. Because in my opinion, you know, I think the lighting, I got that, you know, I got that quickly. You know, I understand the lighting. It's, for me, it's simple. Posing, I think it's simple for me. And I like to be challenged. And most of the time, it's always the retouching that's very challenging for me. So that's why I keep doing that, keep practicing that. And that's why I always, you always see me doing a lot of retouch, because I really want to master that. And that's the only reason why you see me doing a lot of retouching. But once that thing becomes simple for me, you know, I will be moving to other stuff.
Are you doing the retouching by hand or using software? Is it a combination of, I mean,
That's a good question. You know, when I started, you know, I used to, when you start, you know nothing, right? So I was thinking there is a magic software.
So you know what you do. Yeah. You know what you do is you make that baby skin, like where it's like they look like a Barbie doll and you see not a single pore. Like
you just, right, yeah. Oh. You know, I think in my opinion, I've tried all of them, all of the plugins that, you know, my friends or anything they suggest in Facebook or in social media, I tried all of them and made a comparison. And I say, if you want to have realistic results, you know, don't use them. It's better to do it the manual way, although it takes more time. But I think it depends on really the concept you're after. You know, if it's, you know, events, you know, they don't care. Just use a plugin, then that's fine. They're done. But if you're going to, like, you want to retouch something like a beauty photo shoot, you want something like natural, you need to use, you know, like Photoshop or something like manual, you know.
Yeah. But so let me run you through, for example, my workflow. And I think a lot of people would do something like this. I might do street portraits, or I might walk around like an event, or like let's say a wedding, and I do a shoot there. Then I'm going to come home, and I come home with, anywhere from 50 to several hundred images, especially if it's a wedding. And on the more important ones is when I'm going to usually do like a low level amount of portraiture. And who is that makes that? Is that Nick who makes the portraiture?
Software.
Yeah.
No, I think it's image comic.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. So I usually do something like that, not to a heavy degree, if I'm not doing a full on retouch. What is your take on something like that? Is that what you're talking about? Like somebody who's not doing like a heavily posed or modeled shoot or a glamour session or something like that?
I also do that. Like recently I did a bridal photo shoot for this friend. So like we had into an agreement that I'm gonna provide quick edits, meaning quick edits like just exposure using Lightroom or plugins, right? So like I gave her like 100 images or something, but for the ones she really liked, like the headshots, like three of them I use the normal retouching process, like use Photoshop. It's kind of similar to yours.
What happens when you do? So let's say I have, and how would you? This is, I guess, a question as to how you would handle this situation. Let's say I have a client that comes in and they come in for a headshot. That's not uncommon, or they want to do a glamour session or something along those lines. You can do the full on retouch where you do everything by hand and manual, or you can do like a quick one where you're pretty much just using a plugin, as you're saying, or just tonal adjustments, things like that. So how do you handle a client seeing that? Because they're going to see three images, let's say, that are very much, they look stellar in them, and the skin looks beautiful in it. And if there was like a little like pimple here that was removed versus the other ones where they're seeing those, is there any sort of like, I don't know, feedback that you get from clients on that level?
I usually, I before I do that, I always like make a contract with the client. Like I tell them, okay, if we're gonna do high-end edits, this is what I'm gonna do. If we're gonna do quick edits, this is what I'm gonna do. So there, I tell them what to expect, like the quality of editing. So if I'm gonna do, let's say, like that scenario where you have like a quick edit, like a high-end edit. They'll know that there would be a major difference on the quality. So I think in most cases, I never had an issue with clients about that because they know, I always tell them that the high-end retouching will take me more time. And the one with the quick edits, it's kind of look plastic, so they know that.
Right. Okay. All right. So you sort of work it out with them in advance. And I don't know if this is how I handle things at our studio, is that usually I'll do like a basic amount of correction, let's say on headshots, tonal stuff, things like that. And then when they select the three final images that they're looking for, or five, or however many it is, I do the nicer edit on those. And then what I do is I will take down their old gallery. So I make sure they can't see the old images, and I just post the new ones after that, so that hope they've forgotten a little bit as to what they look like. Hopefully, so they can't really just go and compare as to like, well, here's exactly what happened in this photo. How do you handle that, like with them, with seeing a photo, having it retouched? Do you show them side by side, or do you avoid doing that?
I, in my opinion, I prefer showing them the side by side. Like, I don't do quick edits unless they request it, right? I show them the straight from the camera shot. So I show that to them, then I show them the retouch so that they can appreciate more the work that I did on the photos. So I don't really mind showing it to them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's cool. So tell me why aren't plugins a good idea? Are they even a good idea? Let's say you're doing a full-on headshot. Are they even a good place to start, or do you just avoid starting with plugins altogether?
That's a good question. Again, it depends on the kind of edit you want, right? From what I've found with plugins, right, they are good if you want to do a batch edit on like, let's say 100 or 1,000 photos, but they're also good for using on images that are conceptual, like avant-garde, like fantasy, where natural skin is not expected. Look, if you look at like Amanda Diaz's work, right?
Say that name again.
Like Amanda Diaz.
Okay.
Like photography, right? Okay. If you look at her photos, I mean, I like her work, but to be honest, the skin is very plastic. But that's fine because that's her look, so I like it. So with that kind of look, you know, I think plugins are fine. But if you're gonna delve into high-end natural retouching headshots, photo shoots, I think plugins are bad because they cannot control the level of smoothing on the skin. It's always no texture every time you use a plugin.
Right, but however, dial it back, though. Unless you're using it at full power.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have to dial it back down, right, in order to make it look somewhat more acceptable. But the thing is, unless you know how to do the manual way of retouching, it's kind of hard to gauge how much you need to gauge down the plugin. So that's why, in my opinion, if you're going to use a plugin, it's better to know first the manual way of retouching so that you can match the final outlook from a plugin versus to a natural retouch.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm looking at Amanda Diaz's site right now, and holy cow, she's got some stellar images. I see exactly what you're talking about. The skin definitely goes, but you know what? Like, it doesn't look bad. She contours, like the makeup is contoured well, which I just learned recently how to contour makeup.
I think it works well for hair look, you know, for the style.
Right.
But you can tell the skin is not, I mean, there's less texture on the images, but I think I like it, you know, for that kind of look.
I think, is that Jennifer Lopez on her site? She's photographed, looks like, quite a few models and fairly well-known people.
Yeah, she's very popular.
Okay. I must be totally out of the loop because I'm not familiar with her work, but I am now. Mm-hmm. So that's very cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so you're saying when you're first learning, it's okay to use the plugins because once you know what the tool is going to be used for, then that's fine.
Yeah, that's good. And recently, I've been the problem with the manual retouching, right? You know, I know it produces good results, but it takes a lot of time. Normally, you know, if you want to really get a good result, it's gonna consume you like at least 2 hours. You know, it's normal to spend like 4 hours in an image,
on
right?
one image.
Yeah, that's normal, right?
Okay.
But again, it depends on the concept, right? If it's just a wedding, right? You won't do that. It's kind of dumb.
Right, because you have like 500 images from a wedding to go over.
Right, but if it's just a client who needs just one or two good images, you know, headshot, that's fine because they're paying anyway.
Right.
So recently I've been trying to balance out if there is a way I can use plugin and at the same time mix it with retouching, you know, the manual way of retouching. So to kind of save me some time, because to be honest, you know, as photographers, we're more critical on our work, right? But once we give the photo to the client, you know, they don't see what we see, right? So you kind of balance out how much texture you really want to show on the client because they don't have an eye as good as ours, right? So, I mean, in that case, you can balance out if you want to use a plugin or mix it up with, you know, with your normal workflow.
I don't know. I've got clients who come to me and they say, oh, can you just make my eyes more like this and push my lips up there. It's like, yeah, that's sort of going into a fantasy world rather than your business card headshot, but let's see what we can do here. So
yeah, if you pay me extra, I'll do it.
Right. Everything's for sale. Absolutely. So, okay. The 2 to 4 hours that you're talking about for one single image. And
yeah, if it's a headshot, like really close up.
Got it. And what are you doing for this entire? So take me through the workflow. Your 2 to 4 hours. 1 hour is just spent staring at the screen saying, how the hell am I going to do all this? And then another hour, I'm usually going to get a bottle of wine. So that's hour number two for me. What's your workflow?
So normally the workflow, the reason why it takes like 2 to 4 hours is like the workflow really is, it starts first with the camera raw or Lightroom, like adjusting the exposure. That takes me like 10 minutes, I'd say. And then once I go to Photoshop, the next step is doing the healing. The healing depends on the model. If the model has good skin, the healing step would only take like 2 minutes. If the model has bad skin, it's going to take like 45 minutes, something like that. You know, it depends on how bad the skin is. But normally I'd say the healing steps would take around 30 to 60 minutes, something like that. And then
this is just, just talking about like the spot healing brush or the patch tool. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Because I got some models who had really bad skin. It took me really like 2 hours really just to make it really work. Right?
Is this something you ask them? Do you say, okay, so you have like this blemish here. Like some people might have something on their face and they don't necessarily want it removed. Do you have those conversations?
Yeah. Like 99% of my shoots, I always ask them, is there a scar or a mole you want me to keep on your face? And when they say they don't care, just take out everything, then I take out everything.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. But I had one instance where I forgot to ask the model. So I took out one of the mole on the cheek, right? And the reason why I took it out, because I was looking at her Facebook and all of her photos, they don't have it. So I did the same thing. So now when I took it out, she was complaining, can you put it back? Okay, I put it back.
Okay. All right, did you ask why, if it's out in every other photo?
No, I didn't ask. I didn't bother. Okay. It only took me like a minute to put it back.
Okay, all right. So the first hour is tone. You're doing tonal adjustments, which usually takes, a couple minutes, could take up to 10 minutes, let's say, in Lightroom. Then you moved into Photoshop now at this point, right?
Yeah, the first hour is like, I'd say like healing brush, and then the next 2 hours, right, it's dodge and burn. That one consumes the most time because you are basically trying to even out the micro transitions on the skin, like the difference between the highlight and the shadow. And then also trying to manage the overall highlight and shadow transitions on the face. Because if you zoom in on a skin, you'd see there are like minor spots on each part of the skin. Those are what I call the micro transitions. And that's the part where it takes a long time.
Micro what?
The micro transitions on the face. So basically, when you, like on Photoshop, right, you know the hue and saturation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you open that, then move the red slider to the left, you're gonna see like hidden spots on the face.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Sometimes you do all those inverse spots. So you see that inverse, like, I don't know, I've run.
Okay. So mainly in dodge and burn, what we're doing is we're trying to even out those transitions.
Okay.
And that is really the secret in getting good results with retouching. Once you're able to even out those, then you are in the realm of high-end retouching.
Wow.
And that one takes 2 hours. 2 hours or more is because when you're working with that small, small area of the skin, you need to work on a healing brush that's almost like 1% or 2%, you know, flow. So really you need to, like the strokes are really slow and precise, and yeah, it just takes time.
Are you using the Wacom or a tablet or anything for that? Or are you doing this?
Yeah, I use the tablet. I used to use my mouse, and it took me a longer time, like more than like twice the normal hours. But when I started using the pen, it saved me more time. But then the problem is, when you save time, the time you save, you do it on other stuff. So it's the same thing.
Yeah. and with the tablet, and I'm sort of experimenting with it. It's sort of on topic, so I kind of want to get your opinion on it. I found that I kind of like to make. I got the medium sized Wacom tablet. I think I have the Intuos 3. It's the non wireless one, so it's good. I like it. I use it from time to time, but you know, if I'm doing a fast edit, I usually just use a Shuttle Pro in my other hand, and that's what lets me cull. But I found it actually easier for me to make the surface area on the tablet smaller. And honestly, if I was going to buy a new one, I would buy an even smaller one, because the bigger the tablet, it's nice, but it's like I have to move my hand so much further than I would with a mouse normally. What's your preference on tablet size or settings?
You know, because I only have one tablet. I only have the medium, so I've been using that. But, you know, I agree because...
Use the full service area on there? Because, you know, you can map out.
I only use like half the area. Okay. So I was thinking the best size for a retoucher is the small one, because you don't really need that whole space to, you know, to move your hand to make a retouch. And also read some article from some retouchers, and they're also recommending the smaller tablet.
Yeah. Yeah, I discovered that as I started working with it. I was like, you know what? I kind of wish I had a smaller one. So what I did was I mapped, you know, on the tablet, you can map out the area and just say like, okay, only this part of the tablet is active. So that's what I did on mine. I don't know if you did the same on yours or not.
No, I haven't. Also, when you're like traveling, because I also do editing in my car when I'm waiting, right? I also do that.
You edit in your car.
Yeah, I find that it's better if you have a smaller tablet.
What do you plug? Do you just have your laptop sitting there and you plug your tablet? And what do you? I don't wait in the car often enough to justify having my tablet with me.
Sometimes, you know, I had to, you know, pick up my wife and I had to wait for her. So like an hour, so I have to do some retouch, you know.
Oh, okay.
I also used to
You
do
just sit in the car for an hour waiting for your wife. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah.
Okay.
Also, I did a retouch while in the train, so you know.
Oh my god! If I was doing that, like I'm trying to envision the conversation we would have if my wife got in the car, and she sees me sitting with like a laptop, and that date would not go well. Yeah. No. Okay. So you've got the next 2 hours. You've spent. We'll try to get back on topic here. You spent an hour spot healing, then. The next 2 hours, you're basically doing
the dodge and burn, and then after that, the last hour is mainly tonal corrections, right? Because once you do a dodge and burn, sometimes or most of the time, the color of the skin changes depending on whatever side of the face you touch, if it's the highlights or the shadow, so you have to compensate on that. And the last hour also includes making a preview. Preview means, you know, you save the file and then you upload it on... I have a private account where I upload my photos. Then I have to make a review if the photos look good on the screen and also on my phone. Then I also ask my wife if the photos... because she's also a makeup artist, right? So she gives me a feedback if my editing is bad or if there's a mistake that I need to fix. So, and that's the reason why the last hour takes me more time, because I have to go back and fix the stuff that I missed.
Yeah.
So I just keep doing that. And until I hit like the 4 hour or 5 hour, you know, mark.
Well, she's also been sitting in the car for an hour waiting for you to finish her edit too. That's the other problem. So,
yeah. But you know, I don't want to give the impression that in all images I take like 2 to 4 hour edits, you know, because it really depends on the model. Like I have this model who has really good skin, and I was editing her photo last night, and it only took me like, I'd say an hour for the whole process, because she really, he doesn't have any blemishes, like maybe one or two. And, the lighting is on point. It's a headshot. So really, you know, it was almost perfect. So, yeah, I think if you really want to save time, you know, get a great model.
Model. And how much is the makeup artist? If I assume that that's also a very big deal, the makeup artist.
Oh, yeah. I think those are the two factors you need to consider when you're doing a beauty retouch is make sure you have a great model and you have a good makeup artist. Like for me, I always, like, I have a lot of retouch with almost no makeup look. And if the makeup artist doesn't know how to apply a no makeup look, once you edit that photo, even if you do the same steps for all the photos, compared to a makeup artist who doesn't know how to do a no makeup look versus a makeup artist who can do a no makeup look, once you're done with the editing, you'll find that there is a significant difference on the photos. It's because it's not because of the lighting. It's not because of the model or the editing. It's because of the makeup. So the makeup plays an important role to the final result of the photo. The only problem with that is if you're a beginner, you won't see that difference. But once you go into more and more into retouching, then you'll realize how important makeup is to make if you want to have natural results on the model.
And that's something that you're not going to notice for quite a while. Yeah, I think it just takes time in the seat of sitting with the tablet in hand, staring at images before you finally start to notice what's good and what's bad. And then, of course, getting feedback from other photographers. So, yeah, I'm 100% with you there because, in fact, sometimes mm-hmm. you stare at an image for so long that you begin to lose sight of that image and you really need to walk away from it. Do you ever?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's one thing I forgot. Even though I'm editing like 4 hours, right, or 2 to 4 hours, it's not, I'm not doing it in one session. Like I always, like every hour or every 30 minutes, you know, I move away from the computer, you know, so I can get like fresh eyes, you know, I do something different. Now I take breaks, then I go back again, look at that. So that's why it takes like that long time. Sometimes you get lazy, then you go back, you sleep over, and then the following day you continue.
Right.
But if you tally the whole hour, it's going to be like 2 to 4 hours.
You only do it at the red light, so you know you only get 30 seconds at a time to edit. So there you go.
Yeah.
So you know, and one of the things I was going to ask you was how long does it take to learn? And I guess you're sort of not a good person to necessarily ask that. Maybe if you dive in like hardcore, like what you did, within yeah. a couple of years is when you can be on the level. How long did it take before you felt that you were comfortable saying, I am a, would you say you're a high-end retoucher? What term would you use and how long did it take you to get there?
Okay. So, because I started learning, I had my first Photoshop and I started learning Photoshop back in, I think it's, May 2014. Right. So I'd say from May 2014 to April 2015, so almost a year, I'd say in that year, I was a beginner, I'd say. So after a year, last year until now, I'd say that's when I made a big progress. And really, it's not about the progress was not about that I know more. It's the progress is I see more in the photo.
How did you get there? How did you, like, if I'm sitting by myself at home, I don't necessarily know what's good and what's bad. And I can look on the internet, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily tell me anything because, again, I can see somebody like Amanda Diaz who put something out where right. it's like that, it starts to approach that fantasy skin style look. And then there's other people who add more clarity and more contrast to their skin. So what made you improve aside from just sitting there at the computer?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, you need to be honest with yourself, right? So when you look at your photo, so for me, what happened to me is I look at my photo, then I have this photographers that I like their work. Like, for example, like maybe, you know, Patrick Nayak and Julia Kosmenko, Michael Wolosnowicz, right? You know their work, they're very good, like the retouch, right? So I look at their work and I compare mine and it looks bad. So if it looks bad, I try to see what they did correctly on those photos and what I did wrong. So I just keep comparing. Then also another resource I did is I asked these people, like can you give me feedback on this photo?
You ask those people, like the people whose websites you're looking at.
Yeah, yeah. I ask them, like, can you give me like an honest opinion on this photo? I only ask people who I know are good, at what they do. If their work is bad, I don't ask them. There's no point, right?
You never ask me. I've never gotten one message.
Then, yeah, so they give me feedback. And when they tell me my work is good and or bad, whatever, then I try to see if... Because sometimes, people, they give you feedback, even though it's positive. Sometimes they only tell you that because they don't want to make you sad or, they're not really... That's why I said you need to be honest with yourself, because some people, they give you positive feedback just to make you feel good, even though your work is bad. So
it's called the Facebook like syndrome, when you just have like 100. I got 100 likes on this photo. I don't know why I didn't do well, like in the print competition or something like that.
So even if they're telling me it's good, what I do is I ask another photographer or I seek out another retoucher and make a comparison and see if my work is really up to them. And that's one thing how I improve my way of retouching. So like I said, it's really about doing it every day, almost shooting every week, and then comparing my work and then being honest. Do I see a texture on this face? If there's no texture, then I know I'm not there yet. I just keep editing and just keep editing. Yeah. I don't want to discourage other people, I think
telling people that you edit while waiting in the car for an hour for your wife, that's not discouraged. That's what we all do. That's how everybody learns photography.
Yeah. But I think you also need to have some kind of talent, like an eye for the arts. So it's kind of like that as well, maybe, I'd say.
People tell me that. So people will look at a photo of mine, they'll be like, wow, you've got a great eye. And I'm like, no, actually, I don't. What I have is you don't see like the 3 a.m. like staring at a screen and saying, wow, look at this photo, and sketching it out on a pad and putting in the effort. So I like to think of it. I like to be more optimistic. Mm-hmm. I'm with you that there is some talent, but mm-hmm. I use this comparison. If we are racing up the Hancock, right? Mm-hmm. At least for anybody who's listening in Chicago, we all know what the Hancock is, and they have a race where you go all the way up to the top. I believe that some people naturally might start off on like the second floor, on the third floor when it comes to like
photography. Yeah, that's correct.
Some people are starting off on the first floor. And when you're first starting, if I'm starting on the first floor and you're starting on the third floor, that's a huge difference. But we got a long way to go, so it's definitely easy. I can see when you said earlier that you overtook people, but you also completely devoted yourself to it. So I think that's right, a big part of it. So
I think that's this. I don't know if you know Joel Grimes, right?
Joel Grimes?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I was just at his talk actually a week ago.
Yeah, yeah. He's very good. Yeah. Like, I remember him saying that, talented people, they're good, right? But people with passion, people who keep doing things, eventually they will be at the same level with these talented people. Right. So really, it's more of, just doing more work, just doing it again and again. So until you get very good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 100% with you, because a little bit of, let's say, natural talent can be easily overtaken by somebody who works their ass off. Mm-hmm. So you have a class. I mean, honestly, if I don't get to this topic, then. Where I'm just going to ask you 1,000 questions, but instead I can take your class, which you're doing at the Out of Chicago Portrait Conference. You are teaching on April 9th. You're doing a couple shorter 1.5, 90-minute sessions. And then on the 10th, which is that Sunday, you have a full day retouching workshop. And that was actually one of my questions that I had, was like, what can you possibly talk about for 8 hours in terms of retouching? But if it takes you 4 hours to do a photo, I can sort of see that. So tell me a little bit about the class that you have planned for both Saturday, and then what are you going to do on Sunday for the full day class?
So on the first day, Saturday, I have two sessions. So it's mainly a 90-minute talk, and showing how to retouch. So it's mainly I'm gonna show how to do practical retouch on a single photo. Mainly it's either it's a lifestyle or something casual so that everyone can apply it in most common scenarios, you know, whether it's events, wedding, or a beauty or a lifestyle. So it's going to be the same steps with the sundae, except the sundae, it's more intensive because I have more time. So I'm able to show how to, like on Sunday, I'm able to retouch a lifestyle, a black and white, and also do a headshot photo shoot and also do a clean beauty photo shoot. So if photographers can go to the Sunday, I'd advise they go there because they'll see more of the techniques and they'll see more repetition of the same steps, because I believe, you know, if you keep seeing the same steps and repeating it on different images, it's going to instill more the knowledge and you're going to see more what works for different types of images.
And we can bring our, I say we, because I think that I've already, I'm going to take your client. I'm supposed to be working the event, but I think I'm going to try and sit in on it for sure. So we can bring laptops to it. I assume bring your tablet, anything that you would edit with and follow along.
On the Sunday, I advise if they can bring their laptop and a tablet, and I hope they have Photoshop installed as well, right?
Yeah.
So otherwise, it's going to be hard to edit in Lightroom.
Microsoft Paint, that's how we're going to edit, MS Paint.
Yeah, and also, maybe I didn't put it on the course description, because I really want everyone attending on the class to, after the class is done, you know, maybe for a week or 2 weeks, you know, to send me back their images so I can give, you know, an honest feedback if they're doing it right or wrong, you know, until they get it right.
So
I think that's very important for retouching, getting feedback from someone who knows more. Because if you're only relying on yourself, you know, it's going to take you more time. Maybe, I don't know how long.
Yeah. Okay. So anybody who's taking the Sunday class is not only going to go through the class, but then after that, they can keep in touch, send you some images for you to. I like that you put the week time limit on there so that people aren't emailing you indefinitely. But so that's good. So then they can send you images and sort of get a gist of the direction that they're heading in, and if they're heading in the right direction.
Right. Yeah, I think that's good. And also, that's a good way for me to gauge if the students are really interested in retouching, because from what I've learned, I have students where once they've seen the steps, you know, they give up. They don't want to go on. So really, retouching is really, it's a lot of work. Really, it's a lot of work. Like, the final images are great, but it's really a product of, you know, hard work, you know, passion, you know, late night, you know, editing.
Yeah. Yeah. And tell me before I let you go, tell me books, websites, if I want to learn a little bit before I actually get to your class, tell me, what would you suggest I check out?
Oh, I advise going to retouchingacademy.com. I think it's .com or .net. And look at the articles over there. And if they can also go to YouTube and watch the videos from Julia Kuzmenko, Michael Wallace Nowitzki.
Wait, hang on a second. What's the those names, which are not clearly not American names, but you said Julia? Oh,
Kuzmenko.
Okay, I'll get those from you. Like, you know what? We'll put the names that you're giving me into the show notes, because it sounds like some of them are like Russian, right?
Yeah, Julia Kuzmenko is Australian photographer, retoucher.
Okay.
I think you've seen her work, but maybe you're not familiar with the name.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll have it in the show notes for you. So Mark Serrano, where is the website that if folks want to go and see your work, who you are, where can they go?
Oh, if they want to go to my website, just go to www.markserranophotography.com.
Awesome.
I wish they can go to markserrano.com, but someone already took out the name.
Yeah.
So kind of too late.
That's all right. You can get into a bidding war for it one day. Well, very cool. Mark Serrano, thank you so much for your time. And I think I've you're going to actually get me to go back and now take a look at retouching. Thank you for killing the rest of my night tonight, because I have a feeling I know what I'm going to be doing. So
thank you for having me.
Look forward to you. April 8th through the 10th is the Out of Chicago Portrait Conference. Mark Serrano is going to be teaching on the 9th. You've got two 90-minute sessions that day. And then on the 10th as well, the full day, which I'm definitely going to sit in on that day for sure. So again, thank you so much for your time. And I look forward to, I think, finally meeting you after a number of years.
Great. Yeah. I'm looking forward on the conference.
Yeah. Awesome. I'll see you soon.
You too. Thank you.